the fifth and sixth Mishnayos of the first parak of Avodah Zarah. The topic today has to do again back with commerce restrictions, where there were certain items that were known to be used for Avodah Zarah, and transacting them to a Gentile was facilitating, abetting Avodah Zarah. And then we'll get into a further commerce restriction. Again, all of these came as very difficult for the Jewish community that was challenged in terms of its capacity especially in Ashkenaz and especially in the period of the Rishonim to sustain itself. So Elu Dvarim Asurim Limkor Lagayim, it's Drabolin, there's a certain kinds of elements that come from a cedar tree, Vinos Shuach, certain kinds of figs, Uptos Rosehen, and their Uktin, that is to say, the part where they're binded to the tree, Olivona, frankincense, Visarnagol Halavan, and white chickens in particular. Again, this is a little bit anachronistic for us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Motzer Limkol Tarnagol Lavan Bein HaTarnagol. And if they're just buying a large batch, it's not for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, those were things that were typically purchased uniquely, distinctively, as opposed to things that were sold, what we call typically a Dover Shebet Minyan. It was Manchu Bifnei Atzmo, Kotei Asetzbo, Mocholo, you could actually maim the chicken. Normally we're not allowed to do that for purposes of Tzar Balei Chaim, but you could cut off a digit so that it couldn't be used for Avodah Zarah. This was accepted practice amongst Ovdei Avodah Zarah that they would not offer an animal that was missing a digit. Lefi Shein Makrivin Chaser LaAvodah Zarah. Shal Kol HaDvarim Staman Mutar Uferushan Aser. There's a catch-all clause here, which is that if they stipulate the reason I'm buying this salt or the reason I'm buying this plaid shirt is for purposes of Avodah Zarah, you cannot then sell it to them and say, well, I had no idea it wasn't a white chicken. How was I supposed to know? Well, you were supposed to know because they told you, I'd like to purchase, you know, that plaid shirt, you know, from your store for purposes of, you know, tikroves Avodah Zarah. So that's a very important principle, is that a person can't put their head in the sands and claim the ignorance if they, you know, stated as such. Rabbi Meir Omer, Av tekotav v'chatzav, this is again, these are certain kinds of a dekel tov, the very fine fruits and baskets that could be woven from them. These were very typically offered to Avodah Zarah. In a shocking turn of events, I actually saw this with my own eyes. Chances of this happening, I think, are remote, but it did happen to me. I was many years ago, I was hiking with a friend in the forest, and there was some kind of an Avodah Zarah set up in the forest. In a clearing, I turned to my right, I'll never forget it, and I thought of this, that in front of this Avodah Zarah, there was a basket, a woven basket, filled with very fine fruits, very beautiful and delicious looking fruits. So it obviously had been left relatively recently because animals had not gone to it, and this again, it's a very ancient form of Avodah Zarah, a very rare thing to see in the Western Hemisphere altogether, though very common, from what I understand, in the Eastern Hemisphere. People who have traveled there report seeing these things on something of a regular basis. Switching gears for a second, there is an Isser called Shvisas Behemto. If a Jewish person owns an animal, we have to make sure that that animal is at rest, is not doing work on Shabbos. Makom Shenagu Limkor Behemadaka Lagayim So again, in terms of small animals, not working-related animals, if the minhag is to sell them, they can be sold. But something which is beyond minhag, which is at the din of the Mishnah, you cannot sell a large animal to them, even if the animals seem to be incapable of work, there's still a small amount of work that they can do, and then that would be a problem with respect to Shvisas Behema on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shavura, Rabbi Yehuda was lenient in the case of an animal that was so significantly injured so as to be rendered incapable of performing any meaningful v'lacha. Ben Besera Matir Basus, Ben Besera's point was that a sus is only really used, it's not, a sus is too valuable to be used for plowing or the like. Nobody wants to injure the sus, but it is used for riding. So his thought was, it's not really a malacha because there's a principle of achai nosias atzma. It's only a din derabanan, only nisr derabanan for a person to ride a horse on Shabbos. So his point of view is that it would be permissible. But the truth is that susim could be used to give rides to other animals. Now, everybody's sitting here presumably thinking, well, if you sell it to the Gentile, why is it your problem? They could do whatever they want with it. which is true enough, but that's still an Isser Derabbanan, because we have to be concerned if people get used to selling things that could be used for melacha to non-Jews, they'll just as easily lend them or rent them, which then is your problem in terms of Shvisas Beheman Shabbos. So it was a gzera derabbanan. So in a society where Jews couldn't own land, and there are all these commerce restrictions, you know, the Tiferes Yisrael again writes about how challenging these things became for Jewish people to observe, and you know, sometimes it just wasn't possible. So there was, he says, you know, at some point it was determined to be Eino Efshar Lamod, that we just couldn't abide these things because there was no way of earning money. Thank God we don't experience that reality anymore. But there is a halachic solution here, which is Al Yidei Sarsur, which means through a third party. So if you could get especially enough people together in numbers and, you know, have a large sale organized where, let's say, I'm throwing in two of my cattle and Yitzchak will throw in two of his, oxen, and Effie will throw in two of his oxen. So that is not the kind of thing that's included in the Gzera Derabbanan, because typically a third party, like a kind of a merchant, would only get involved in that kind of a sale so that they could get a significant commission. And that's not going to lead to individuals lending out or renting out their animals in a one-to-one transaction for non-Jews. So that would be one way of doing it, and then that could be actually a very interesting way of finding other employment, is for the Jew who effectuates that transaction to get a commission. So it's important to be mindful of the limitations that were imposed on the Jewish community in terms of ways of making a living. You look around the room. You know, now this is not a time where Jews, again, we're getting into medical school and law school and becoming accountants or getting hired by Goldman Sachs, and you couldn't own land in an agrarian market economy. There was almost no way of making money. And so it's an extremely difficult set of restrictions, a very cumbersome to say that there's, you know, you can't commoditize things that could be used for avodah zarah, again, yet another limitation on the Jewish community. When these are things that had to be dealt with, as we spoke about in Ashkenaz, the Balei Tosfos kind of came to the rescue in many respects by reframing the relationship of the majority population to avodah zarah, as we've discussed in the past. Rabbi Hananim.